Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kyle Schwarber giving us the, what's that there, the excitations? Is that what he says?
Yes, that word means. I'm assuming he has it with excitement, I'm guessing.
Something like that. Excitations? Yeah. Is that an actual word, John?
I don't think it is. I think they took some artistic license there.
Well, Kyle Schwarber did it last night. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Let's listen. And by the way, the first one was particularly important when you consider the Phillies were in a 3-0 hole right away. And then it jump-started an inning. It actually turned into a three-home run inning, which, if I remember right, was JT and Kepler.
Correct.
And then Bryce eventually hit one, and Schwarber hit three more, and I think that's the totality of homers.
Correct.
There were so many
correct
last night.
Yes.
All right, let's listen to Schwarber's four. This was unbelievable.
And a swing and a bomb. That will end the drought. Way up into the second deck, Kyle Schwarber puts the Phillies on the board with his 46th of the season. Solo shot, and the Phillies get one back. It's 3-1. And he swings and crushes one to right. Down the line, and the ball is fair, and it is gone. And it's another homer for Kyle Schwarber. His second of the night, two-run home run, the fifth of the game for the Phillies, who now lead 10-3. Swung on, hit in the air, left field. Profar turning, going back, looking up, and it is gone. It's a three-homer game for Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber hits one out the other way. It's a three-run homer. It's a six RBI night for the Philly slugger. Swung on, hit deep right field, and there's history for Schwarber. It's his fourth home run of the night as Kyle Schwarber becomes the first Philly since Michael Jackson to hit four homers in a game. It's a three-run home run that gives him nine runs batted in tonight. The 21st player in modern Major League history to hit four homers in a game.
Just an incredible achievement. I mean, it really, and look, he's already obviously already been one of our favorite players, clearly. But the four home run thing, and it's actually the fourth Philly to do it. So 21st player in the history of baseball, fourth Philly. Ed Dalahante, Chuck Klein, Mike Schmidt, that some people certainly will remember from the mid-70s, not Schmidt, we all remember Schmidt, but that he did it, I think, in 76.
76.
And Schwarber last night, 24. I mean, John, so, sometimes sports can really
like
be,
that.
You know.
magnificent, magical, it just all rolled into one big heap, and it was so needed by this team. That's the thing. Like it wasn't just a throwaway. We needed a real rescue. You know, we had just dropped the entire series to the Mets. Aaron Nola had just thrown 37 pitches in the first inning, and we were down 3-0. And Kyle Schwarber with the that unbelievable quickness and power put us right back on the map.
Awesome. By
and,
the way,
and it's what he does.
Yeah.
By the end of that first inning, it was 3-3 because Kyle Schwarber made it so. He swung that bat to bring us back, and then he just kept swinging it. I didn't know it could be that effortless. I didn't know it could look that good, but it did.
It's fair. But one quick aside, the Braves, trying that double steal in the first inning really bailed out Aaron Nola and the Phils because
silly.
James, if that guy doesn't get thrown out at home plate, let's say they don't go for it. That could have been a 50-pitch first inning. Aaron Nola could have got knocked out in the first inning.
Yeah, and there's three runs, four runs. There's a difference there. I don't know why, but it feels much more manageable when it's three. And by the way, we haven't mentioned to Don's point about the weekend series. The Mets lost to the Marlins last night. the Mets series,
baseball's weird, man.
Weird
sport. Let's go to the phones. Your reaction on what Schwarber did, the Micah Parsons trade, which is a blockbuster. And who would have thought 6 days before the start of the Eagles season, they'd almost be topic number three. Eagles, Cowboys in 6 days. Let's talk to, and we'll tell you in a moment, the Kelly Green games this year for the Eagles. There will be three of them, two at home, one on the road. We'll tell you that shortly. Neil in Northeast Philly. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, team. A shout out to Devin and Ruben Amaro at 8 a.m. Saturday show, and also James Seltzer and Elliot Coor Park for 1 o'clock Goldberg.
Can I ask you a question? Hey, Neil.
Yeah.
When does Richie and the Hammer get a shout out? Like, what is?
You guys don't need
you're a shout out.
You're on right now. Hey, everyone, listen right now.
Saturday
competition.
Yeah. So no. James and I are waking up, working hard.
Around.
You guys are just sleeping in.
Working on the railroad. Remember that song?
I've been working on the railroad all the long day.
I've been working on the railroad.
Don't you hear the captain shouting? Rise up early in the morn.
Morning.
Yeah,
Kyle Schwarber. Hey, let me, Neil, let me tell you something. Kyle Schwarber was working on the railroad last night. That was something.
Oh, yeah. MVP, MVP, MVP.
Well, really, you know, it's a jump because he really can get to 60 now. He's at 49. Yeah.
And it's a thing that, you know, those things matter at the end of the year. Like, it is human beings voting for this. Like, the four homer game on the resume is something to throw on there, you know?
What does that do to his price if he's the MVP? What, like, for all intents, practical intents and purposes, how much more do we have to pay him to keep him here if he wins MVP?
I don't know the answer.
I don't know
that
it's too maybe a little bit for sure.
No,
it does, but I don't think it's like a massive. He's going to be second or something. I don't think. I think he's going to get paid no matter what.
But James, it'll also mean he finishes strong. Which
true, and which look, it is something that they'll use and negotiate. It'll help for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Neil, that was something, my man. Neil, were you old enough? You sound like you probably are. Did you see Schmitty in '76 when he did it?
I think Wrigley Field in the high-scoring game. Yeah. You know?
No. So, it was the 18-16 game, but it wasn't the 23-22 game, right?
Which is wild that they've had two type games like that out there.
They were both in the 70s, I think. Right, James? 23-22 and 18-16?
Yeah. I don't remember the 18-16 was scored, but the 23-22.
Yeah, I think Schmitty's four homers was an 18-16 game. All right, Neil, give me an answer, buddy. Like Schwarber last night, what makes you go well? What made you go
well? Well, I mean, I obviously have to say beating the two GOATs and winning the two Super Bowl titles, you know, to actually have Nick Foles be MVP over Brady and then Jalen Hurts, you know, like over Kansas City and,
love it.
And Mahomes.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
And going up 34-0, so the Eagles two Super Bowl.
It's a good
titles.
Answer, man. Wow. And by the way, I'll leave a tack on because we don't talk about this enough, but the prior Eagles championship in 60, they beat Lombardi.
Yeah, you're right. You should mention that.
The three greatest
coaches in the history of the sport. No big deal.
Lombardi, Belichick, and Reed. Think about that. Jeez. And Bart Starr, obviously, who, you know, I mean, no one's going to say he's Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, but he's a legit Hall of Famer himself with five titles. All right, so Kelly Green. Eagles wore Kelly Green back in 1960 for a long, 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 long time until they did not. And last year we saw it back, and this year we're going to see it back again. Eagles announced yesterday three years ago.
We saw it back, right?
And I love the games chosen. So they're going right into the division. The first game the Eagles will have the Kelly Green home game versus the Giants. Second game, and I love this on the road at Dallas. And then the third game is the game to end the regular season, which could be for all the marbles in the division, theoretically the conference. Eagles and Washington. John, three division games. I appreciate that by the Eagles, man.
Sure.
Not messing around.
It's classy and it's classic. And it makes, it feels historic when you're going divisional.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Very, very solid. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up an awful lot. Phone calls on all the topics we're talking about. Schwarber, obviously, the main thing. Also, Elliott Short Parks at 7:30. Beat the Hammer at 7:45. More on the Parsons trade, what Jerry Jones said about it. We'll play that audio and more. Phone calls and all of it from Borgata. What a day on 94W.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I pay.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94WIP.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today after a Phillies 19-4 win. And this is very appropriate song choice from Kyle here. Everything's going to be all right.
Had a meltdown yesterday.
What? Who had a meltdown?
He's the same cat that had the meltdown yesterday.
Kyle? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the great motivator. If the Phillies win the World Series,
is that what
you're going on? I'm the only one that had a meltdown yesterday.
I didn't have a meltdown.
Well, you were the only one who demanded the team to get a standing boot.
I'm always even keel.
Yeah, that bothers
me. I am
me.
The voice of reason in this space,
and it's very annoying.
In this space, but you were the only one who demanded them to get booed, Kyle.
Yeah.
So I think that your meltdown.
We saw what happened.
Your meltdown supersedes everybody else's.
I had to balance the scales.
Restore balance.
Right. Yeah. That's what Kyle's known for, of course.
Restoring balance. That's what he definitely. I agree with that.
But it was a great night. I mean, Kyle Schwarber hits four home runs. Truly incredible stuff. And want to know if we overreacted to the Mets series. And I don't want to say that it wasn't frustrating. Of course it was. I mean, it was a terrible series. But I do think we went a little overboard. I think we overreacted a little bit. And yeah, the Mets have the Phillies number right now, but the Mets can't beat anybody else. And the lead back up to five. And I'll say this right now. Like, I think the Phillies are going to have at least a six-game lead when the Mets come in here next week.
Yeah, and they're going to probably chip away at that. I'm trying to be positive, but next week is going to be the telltale sign about where this team is, especially going into the playoffs and trying to exercise your demons. I think you, in that four-game series, you got to at least get three of them. You have to.
I mean, does it just not annoy you that – so if you took away every game the Phillies played against the Mets this season, we're 10 games better than them.
Yeah.
But instead, it's just a five-game lead.
No, it absolutely annoys. Like, of course it's annoying.
It doesn't sound like it annoys you.
Kyle, it does annoy me. Trust me. I hate the Mets. They're probably my least favorite team in all of sports. I can't stand them. But I can't just say, oh, we can't beat the Mets. We stink. The Phillies are better than everybody else, are better than the Mets against everybody else by a significant margin.
We got Braves fan Douglas over there. And we have Mets fan Tom Kelly.
I'm not a Braves fan.
Kyle. That is not funny.
Remember when you got mad at me for having perspective the other day?
I guess.
Yeah, you're annoying me just as much.
Fair. Yeah. Fair.
I don't like this DK.
I will.
Where's the fire?
Yeah, I asked for this. I asked for Kyle to throw away perspective, and what do we get?
I thought you'd be on my side. Standing with the booing thing, Kyle. By the way, admonishing
me. I think some people probably went in there and thought about it, especially the way the game started yesterday, and then it turned.
Yeah, well, there were some boos when Nola gave up three in the first inning.
That's what I'm saying. It started.
Nola doing the typical Nola thing last night.
Here they go. Here we go.
Yeah.
That was rough. Huh?
Yeah, we'll get to that later on, too. Nola. Oh, terrible. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody going? And Hugh, look, I have a late shout out to your birthday.
Well, thank you,
you know,
sir.
My furry brother.
Hold on. First of all, it's way too late for birthday shout outs.
Like, it's still
been,
August.
It's been days. It's
like, oh yeah, happy birthday, Hugh.
Stop.
Hey, some people, you know, they party all month. I know what Islanders do. You know, so it's all good.
Yeah, they do. Some people do.
Oh man, but oh gosh, man, look, you know what? Let me tell you something. Hugh, I'm with you on this, but I'm just going to add a little mustard on top of this thing. I'm going to tell you, I was happy for Kyle Schwarber last night for what he did. It was awesome to see. And for some odd reason, I decided to look at the game because I haven't just been looking at the games because of this foolishness, right? But, you know, after everything was over and all the feel-good stuff, I got annoyed by it. I got annoyed by it because I was like, where was that during the freaking Mets series, when you pulled an offer on us and the rest of this team. I'm just going to tell you right now, I will not rest easy. And I'm going to tell you, 3-1 is not good enough. The only way I can feel better is that they sweep, because you know what? 3-1 in a series in the playoffs, in a 7-game series, you go 3-1 after losing. In Mets Stadium, you're going home.
Come on, Bruce. If the Phillies win 3 of 4 against the Mets next week, that's a successful series. Stop. Ridiculous.
It's a successful series, but it's not success against the Mets on what they have done historically. Because this team is soft like a baby's ass when it comes to the Mets. And that last game was horrible. They against a rookie pitcher. What the hell was that all about? They packed up and they went home. They need to grab themselves, you know, between their legs and get some cojones about playing the Mets.
Well, Bruce, I get it, but there's nothing we can do about the Mets series now. Like, the only thing they can do is bounce back and play better against the teams they're playing against, and they scored 19 runs last night.
But you know what? The Phillies have done this crap over and over to us. They've beaten good teams. They had multiple scores, and then they lose the teams that they have no business losing to. I mean, and especially the Mets, and the sorry thing. Look, it's just like, let me give you a snapshot, right? Okay, they started off wonderful in those first two games, but the moment something goes wrong, they're like the Keystone Cops running around, and nobody knows what to do, and everybody panics, and then they fold like a deck of cards, and it's just so sickening. I mean, I want to see them play like men against the Mets, and until they show me that, you know what? This is just another walk in the park.
But Bruce, so should we not pay attention to all the other games they're not playing against the Mets? Like, what? There's nothing. Well, what? All I'm saying is, it was a bad series. There's nothing they can do about that now, except beat the teams that they're playing now.
No. I'm not arguing. I'm with you on that because they've done outstanding against all of the best teams, and that's what makes it even worse. Is that you beat up on the Yankees, the Dodgers, you come out with winning records. I've been tracking all of that. But the moment you get in here against a trash pitching staff against the Mets, they should have destroyed them. They should have rolled them. But they didn't.
Why?
It's just something about it that is they're in their head psychologically. The Mets have got something on them, and it's just so frustrating.
I got you, Bruce. What do you have for Tri-Day Friday?
Now, this is the barbecue thing, right?
Yeah, what are you bringing to a barbecue?
Oh, man. Hey, look. I got my thing that I bring all the time. I make a special drink. It's a tequila and lemonade slushy.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Sounds pretty good.
Appreciate it, Bruce. Man, we need to bring tequila.
Mixing my tequila, though. I just like my tequila straight.
Well, I need a mixer.
I don't mind tequila straight. I don't think it's like that bad.
No, I like it straight, too.
Tequila is one of my favorite kind of liquors to drink. Like the vodka, don't really like to do.
See, I like vodka.
No,
you know,
I like Stateside vodka. They got some really good vodka.
Okay.
Shout out to Stateside.
That's fair.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really smooth.
Yeah, so a nice mixed drink. That's a good thing.
I think vodka is the drink of choice for most people that like to drink like
straight though.
I think some people, because if I'm not mistaken, you can hide, but like people that drink. They hide the vodka
water bottles. You put it in a mixer in like a flask or something.
Yeah, they put it in water bottles. Yeah.
The one I can't do is whiskey, man. I can't do whiskey.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I know.
Whiskey's the
best. I'm a wuss.
Whiskey puts hair on your cheeks.
An Irishman that doesn't drink whiskey.
Yeah, I like whiskey.
Yeah, I'm mostly a beer guy myself.
Yeah, me too.
But why though?
Drinks everything.
Like, because it's like, how many beer? Okay, seriously, Kyle. How many beers does it take for you to get right?
Well,
don't answer that
question. Depends on how much food's in my stomach.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, I don't know, but like, I guess for me, it's I could do a few shots and be pretty drunk, or like, I think I like the act of drinking something like constantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting.
And for me, I'm washed up. I can't deal with the hangovers anymore. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, dude,
I can't do it anymore.
I don't really
man.
Do the hangovers.
Yeah,
I do hangovers.
I don't get hangovers.
Oh.
I don't get those.
I envy you.
Yeah, I don't get
I definitely do.
Yeah, you're gonna have to share your secrets.
Thanks. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Keep the phone calls going on the Phillies and Tri-Day, but we do have to get to one of the biggest NFL trades in a long time yesterday, how it impacts the Eagles. That's coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio, alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WI.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
I pay.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We're back on a Hurts Day on the WIP afternoon show.
How fitting you just have a Hurts
Yes.
Day. Well, how about that?
With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, day two of Eagles Radiothon for the Eagles Autism Foundation. Boy, it's going to be a big day. Ike, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Brother Spike. Despite the nonsense that's happening or happened up there in Flushing, New York with our beloved Philadelphia Phillies, man. Seriously, swept against those guys. You know what? Much like QB1, who will be joining us a little bit later, has said in the past, sometimes you got to look at the deuce and flush it. I got to flush that series, Spike. I got to flush it. Jackie Baseball. I so hope you got something positive for us today. Holla at your boy.
Ah, QB1. What QB1. A day.
Yeah,
what a
it
day.
Is.
Talking to our guy.
Before we get to the Phils, it is a big day. As we power through day two of Eagles Radiothon, we have three big Eagles guests today. Dallas Goedert will join us.
Who is has an escape room.
Yes. Sydney Brown will join us.
Mm-hmm.
And QB1, Jalen Hurts, will join us.
How about that?
It'll all happen sometime between 3 and 4:30, somewhere in there. So just listen to the whole show.
That's a hell of a window.
Well,
yes. No, you're right.
It's a hell of a show, brother. It's a hell of a show.
You never know when they're getting off the practice field. You
right. We told everybody 4 o'clock yesterday for Saquon. It wasn't until 4:30. So
yes.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to happen during the show.
Yeah.
So all three of them have great auction items mm-hmm. at EaglesRadiothon.com. We will get into those. We will get into the auction item that has to do with us as well. But we do have to start with the Phillies. Jack, I think you as voice of the Phillies in Philadelphia.
Well, of reason.
Not, you know, a voice of reason. After that pathetic performance, which I think we can all agree, where you as the emotional guy, where do you stand?
So obviously incredibly frustrated. There are little things that happen, right? And I would have liked to see more fight. But ultimately where I come down to is that they had a bad series up in Citi Field. I'm not letting six games at Citi Field. I know it's 10 straight losses, but six this year change how I feel overall about this team. They have beaten plenty of good teams. They have been a very good road team this year. They've been a very good home team this year. I think that overall, like, it's annoying having the Mets having our number, and maybe the Phillies woke them up with the Bohm double play thing, and they're bringing the mics to the stadium. Incredibly annoying. Maybe the rivalry pack with Bryce got the Mets going a little bit. It's a dogfight. It's a baseball season. Like, I feel like we do this every year when they lose a couple games. We forget that we're following a baseball season where there's ups and downs and ins and outs. It's a roller coaster of a season. There's highs and lows. Right now is currently a low point, but Schwarber's not going to go 0 for a series again. JT's not going to go 0 for a series again. Chris Sanchez is an ace level type pitcher. Joan Duran is one of the best relievers we've ever seen here. Like, I can't get too ahead of myself because the Mets showed up for a desperate series at home, and unfortunately the Phillies did not. They didn't show up. But like, I don't feel that much differently after this series than I did heading into the series. Do I feel worried about them in a postseason series going up to Citi Field and winning? Okay, sure. Mets also got to make it, and that also has to be a scenario that plays out in the postseason. But ultimately, like, take a deep breath.
All
it's
right.
three
okay.
games in August.
Okay, okay, okay.
Three games.
Okay. So, I've been very positive about the Phillies all year. I was even positive yesterday. I think from a talent standpoint, I think they're good enough to win the World Series. This was the first time all year after last night's game that I felt shook. Like, this series actually shook me. And it wasn't because of any of the holes in their team that we know about. It wasn't because we know that the lineup can go cold. It wasn't because the bullpen imploded. It wasn't because Sanchez. It had nothing to do with any of the baseball things. It's just because they gave up. They gave up yesterday. They had no chance of winning that game after Taiwan gave up those three runs. As soon as he gave up those three runs, they just laid down. And I don't want to hear that Mets pitcher, the young Mets pitcher, who's obviously outstanding, is so good he's just unhittable, and they're unhittable. It's just like, whatever. Like, we have Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber. Two of those guys are in the top five of MVP odds in Major League Baseball. Kyle Schwarber did not have a hit. And they just laid down. And it's not about the holes that the team has. They have holes. My problem is that they do this all the time. It's like, it's pathetic. I think they're good enough, but they do this thing. I can't stand how they talk after games. Everything is always about how we're sort of stupid and it's baseball, and they just got to move on to the next thing. Rob Thompson said a couple things last night. Here's one thing he said.
Times like this, when coming off this, is it helpful sometimes to look at it from 30,000 feet? I mean, you're still four games up. You have a four-game division lead. You know, you're in pretty good shape as far as that goes. Is it sometimes helpful to take a view of the whole big picture?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one series. And I know it's against the Mets, but, you know, and admittedly so, we need to play better. But, you know, we will. We got a good club, and that's not going to change.
And then Schwarber, who, by the way, did not have a hit in the three games, had no hits at Citi Field in the NLDS, and had two hits in three games in the three-game series in April. Yeah. Here is Schwarber.
I know you got to tip your hat. They played well in this series, but do you almost feel like maybe you guys let them back in this race here?
I don't think that we're focused on that. I think we're focused on ourselves. You know, this is about us in the clubhouse. Us as a team, we got to get back. We got another important series ahead of us. So, you know, if we go, we got to go out and take care of business. And moving forward, you know, we still have another series against these guys. But, you know, we're not looking to that. We're looking to the series ahead.
Don't you just want one guy on the Philadelphia Phillies to say, we sucked, that was unacceptable, and we all have to own it. Mm. But they don't have that guy.
No.
Nobody ever says that. They always just say, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. We just need to keep doing what we're doing. Everything will be fine. They're good guys, but we don't have any ass kickers in there. This wasn't just one three-game series. Yes, it was just three games in terms of the whole schedule. This was a huge series. You could have buried a division rival. You went up there, and you just gave up. And the reason I'm shaken is because this is what happened last year. Like, they spent the entire second half telling everyone, but mostly telling themselves, this will just work itself out, like baseball. And the problem is that when they get into a tough situation against a tough pitcher, or when they start going cold, instead of digging in and looking within yourself and saying, how do I get my way out of this? They just wait for it to happen. Right? And sometimes they just give up. In the middle of that game, if you don't think the Phillies just gave up in the middle of that game, you are crazy. You're crazy. And it's disappointing to me because I have felt like they are different this year. It's disappointing to me because it is a World Series that I think they can win. Everybody has holes. But the fact that they just give up and nobody says, that was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, listen, it
shook me.
And that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Because they aren't going to say that.
Yeah.
That's the culture. That's the clubhouse. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a bad thing or a good thing. You know, I played an emotional sport, so I've been on the air all these years. People tell you, well, baseball's not football. It's not anything you can't have the high emotions every game. It's 162 games. Okay. They finally beat that into my head. So I get very little emotion from this baseball team. And that's why we're here. To give the raw emotion and reaction to what is happening in the moment and not necessarily always going big picture.
But you know what's crazy, though?
Yeah.
We see plenty of emotion out of them when they're winning. Like, when they're winning, they're laughing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though. Yes. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
it's convenient to be positive and show emotion then.
Right.
But when we need somebody to be upset, tipping over a water cooler or something, getting tossed out of a game.
Wake up. Don't get up.
Retaliating, hitting somebody, like something. We never get that from this club. I'll say this, Spike. I just become accustomed to it. So I don't necessarily react as much to it anymore. And we burned the boats, bro. So I can't. What am I going to do?
You can't turn around.
They're burned.
No, can't turn around. Can't go back. I'm going to chalk this up as it's real. A phobia or some sort of mental block or whatever is going up there to New York to play that this team has. Be thankful that series is over with. I know we faced them again in a couple weeks down here. It's not up there. There is a little bit of a cushion there. And I think this team is the type of team that says, you know what? We'll go back home versus the Braves and we'll win 3 out of 4 there.
And by the way,
that's what they'll do.
I love them talking about going home. It's like, oh, we finally get to go home. And, do you know what I mean? Like,
It's frustrating. I feel you, man. I just
wanted to wake up a little bit. I want one guy. And by the way, I love Bader. That throw, when he threw out Lindor, what a throw. Best awesome throw. But afterwards.
The smile? Did you like the smile?
Afterwards, him and Lindor winking and pointing at each other and laughing. It's just like, come on, no.
All right. I get it.
They're playing slap and tickle.
It's mutual appreciation. I'm okay with that.
In the All-Star game.
Sportsmanship. I get it. I get it. You don't have to preach to me. I get it. I'm just saying, that's two ball players. One appreciated the great play from Bader and the throw. He gave him a thumbs up.
And they were teammates.
Yes.
But he was a Met last year, and they're the enemy now.
I get it.
Well, he's the only guy that showed up.
So you talk about this.
Like, I get it. Yeah, now we're going to be mad at Bader.
The master.
No. We love Bader.
We're all Badered up.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Bader.
Yeah.
This show originated all the Bader conversation. Yeah. I talked about this on the High Hopes podcast today. Download it wherever you get podcasts.
After the show.
No, but, you know, we went through the leaders, right, on the team.
Yeah.
Schwarber is a stay the course. Harper, I think we can beg for him to be different. I think he just is what he is.
He's like a zombie.
When he's playing well, he's fine. When he's not, mopey. When Trey is a go with the flow guy, like Trey is, just kind of does his own thing.
Good JT, teammate, just there.
Sure. JT, stoic.
Yeah.
He's stoic. Boehm, no. Stott, too quiet. Kepler, no. Cassianos in space.
Well, Cassie's not even happy with his role.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I actually think it could be Bader. Like, we keep begging for them to find someone with an edge that doesn't have a problem saying the truth.
He hasn't been here long enough to be a leader.
I don't care. Dutch came to the Marlins in 97 halfway through the year, and he turned that team around.
Yeah.
That was halfway through the year?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever realized that.
Well, I do like –
you
know like
traded for him?
Who?
No.
Dombrowski.
Yes.
I do like that he's cocky. Like, I like that he's out there.
Yeah, but very confident.
Everything that everybody says about it being just one series and just one game and they'll come back and maybe they win 3 of 4, 100%. But this is just the first time that I'm like, oh, maybe upstairs they really just don't have it. It's not about the cold.
I think it's a valid concern.
Cold and that sort of stuff. So
I think it's a valid concern. Yeah, I wouldn't minimize that. I wouldn't minimize that. But I'm just saying because we have burned the boats.
Yes. Well, I hope they know that the boats are burned. The boats are burned. Yes. You know, I hope that they know that there's no turning back. All right, 215-592-9494. Have you, like, where are you, I guess, is the big question on the Phils right now. Because Jack still believes I am a little bit shaken about how the Phillies played in New York.
As we stay away from the Mets, we'll be okay.
Well,
act like you followed a baseball season before.
Don't do that.
Well.
They'll do that.
You have been up and down with the emotion.
This year, I've been pretty good.
Yeah, you've been steady, Eddie.
And well, here's last thing.
Now, recently, you have
He's
upped
been
your
up
intensity.
And down with the emotions.
Well, this is the biggest series of the year, so I brought it.
Yeah.
At least I will. At least I showed up.
Yes.
This is the last thing I say, and I promise I won't bring up Rivalry Pack ever again. If the Mets are awoken and the Mets win the division, I promise you, because I will make sure of it. The Rivalry Pack thing sticks to him forever. Forever.
What about the double play, Boehm, microbolic, whatever?
That too.
Thing.
That too. But like you're telling me that the Mets, who have owned us, sit there and look at Bryce Harper wearing their colors as some sort of hey, look who I am. And they don't see that?
Yeah.
Of course they say it doesn't make them play better, but look,
they know he's doing it in a
taunting
in a
way.
Mocking or taunting way. Yes.
When the Braves used Sal friggin' Licata as a way to be motivated 3 years ago, baseball teams use that stuff.
Yeah.
That will stick to him forever.
And so two things. I agree with you. They should have a big cutout of him wearing it in their locker room, which maybe they do.
Yeah. Taking pieces off of it.
I would like for the Phillies to use the Keith Hernandez cut as the same way.
Yes, overrated.
You're overrated.
Yeah.
But they won't.
They don't.
They won't.
They don't. They're just going to stay the course. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus leads us off. Corey, you're on WIP.
What Aaron Rodgers say? R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Listen, I get it. You know, it was a terrible series. I get all that. Harper, Schwarber, all of that. Like, I'm not about to discredit what they did. I'm not about to say, like, everything Spike said was 100% correct. But it is just baseball. And we've learned that and become accustomed to that all this and this run that they've had since 2022. You know, like, we came in here back when Marks was here. We mad when they do this, you know. And it's just like the ebb and flows of the season. But this is what I will say about the Phillies going forward. I think Spike, it hurt him a little bit more because it's the New York Mets. You know, he can say it's not. I know he got them New York friends texting him on his phone laughing, ha, 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 them laughing emoji. I know you're getting them.
I got a lot of that, yes.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. I know they're completely different sports, right? I know what it's like when your rivalry beats you every single year and they just beat the hell out of you and all you got to do is take it when you got a good baseball team. I know what it's like. So I know it hurts. It puts a little bit more edge on how you feel in the game. But it is just one series. They come back home. Obviously, they front runners, right? We talked about this a couple months ago with Spike, Ike, Jack. Like, the Phillies are a front running team. When they up, you know, they rah, rah, rah. When they losing, they pouting. But what we got to stop trying to do is trying to change these guys to be something that they're not. Like, Harper, he's never going to be a rah. I know that's what he was when he was in Washington, but that's why he's here. Because they didn't like the way he was. They didn't think that he handled himself as a leader, all that. So he changed his personality. That's not who he is. But what I need for this team to do is just finish the season strong. Like, you're going to have games, you're going to have series where, you know, guys ain't hitting. We get that all the time. Like, Castellanos, I mean, this team, I don't know what it is, but, like, when they're losing, they chase balls like crazy. And I know they didn't really do that last night, but, like, on that last inning, in game, what was it, the game two, when they brought in the eighth inning. Like, they got people on bases, they swing. It's like, come on, man. Like what was it, Stott on third? And I think I forgot who was up, but, like, he was just swinging at balls at the ground, not even in strike zone. Like, it's like, I don't know what it is with them, but it's like they're always trying to make the big play. But, like I said, don't worry about it. They're going to get it together. We still got – I know it hurts today. Everybody off the team. But like I said, I know what it's like to get your your team beat your ass, and then they went on to win a championship. So, you know, this could have been the awakening that they needed. And we're going to see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Which perspective you're speaking from when you say you know what that's like?
Come on, Ike.
The winning side or the losing side?
Come on, Ike. Come on, man. Hey, man,
well,
listen.
You said
listen,
it you three times. I wanted to specify exactly which side you were coming from.
Well, me being, you know, Ohio State fan, Michigan beat Mark's ass 4 years in a row, right?
Yep.
We went on to win a championship this year. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That, it's just one series. That hurts in the moment. But it's like you got to take that and use that as motivation to move on to the next one. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Also, on the way out, be respectful. That's all I'm going to say.
What, to QB1?
Dude,
let me
ask.
All right, Corey, you and me. You know me, man. Of course I'm going to be respectful. Of course.
I know. I'm just saying.
Of course.
Don't say no goofy stuff.
No. Well, Jack's mic is shut off. Jack's mic is shut off. For
as long as he admits that Dagger was underthrown.
Can you imagine Ike's face if I opened up with that?
Man.
It's going to be fine. Yeah. Everyone relax.
I'm over here on eggshells, too,
don't
man.
Be on. Everyone's fine. We're all
eggshells.
I'm a pro.
Nah, we're all right.
Come on.
Yeah. This will be fine. Let's see how much we can get Jalen to laugh.
Hey, yeah. Keep that same energy when you talk
to him.
How many
jokes we have for him.
Yeah. Well, I got to find out if you put the Super Bowl ring on.
Put the ring on?
I need to find out if you just put it on at some point. You know, at some point. So Jalen Hurts joins us later on in the show. Sometime between 3 and 4:30, we will have Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert, Sidney Brown. It is the Eagles Radiothon on 94 WIP to benefit the Eagles Autism Foundation. We'll tell you about some of the great items still available. The auction, by the way, the auction happens until 5.
Yeah.
But remember, there are people that have max bids in there. So that, you know, the bid could be $3,000 or something, but they could have a max bid of $4,500. You don't even know. Mm. You have to sign up for all that stuff. So go to EaglesRadiothon.com, sign up. I'll tell you more about that. Also coming up next, one of our WFAN brothers took a shot at one of our WIP brothers, and he might have been right. Yeah. So, yeah, that is that.
It's questionable if he's even one of our brothers.
Yes,
right
the WIP guy we're talking about.
Yes, yes,
215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.